Thank you, Judge. May it please the Court. Again, Brian Threlkeld, Federal Public Defender's Office, Central District of Illinois, this time arguing on behalf of Mr. Mondejano Gonzalez. Again, trying not to retread by now fairly familiar ground, I'll briefly note again that although the judge said she was, in this case, as similarly as in Mr. Ramirez's case, said that she was considering the fast-track issue, the law of the circuit at that time said that she must not lower the sentence on the basis.
She said real specifically that this would not be an appropriate case for fast-track treatment.
She said very briefly, to me it struck me that her discussion of it was, or her addressing of it was rather perfunctory. But again, this our position is this is no more than dicta. In essence, because the judge could not have, at that time, have rendered a decision favoring Mr. Mondejano's argument, certainly not one that at that point she could have expected to have survived appellate review. It was her remarks on that were essentially an advisory opinion. And as we all know, Article III courts don't issue advisory opinions. And it was not an extensively developed comment. I think she talks first about the double counting argument, and I believe it's on appendix page 16 in my brief that she said, let's see, I'm sorry, number 15 where I recall that she had said was that she was considering the fast-tracked issue. Again, I think her addressing of it was perfunctory. Again, in terms of the questions of eligibility, this court hasn't squarely said in Reyes or in subsequent decisions exactly what would render a defendant eligible for fast track in general terms, and as the government has been acknowledged, it varies from district to district. The policies of the Attorney General's fast track, of the U.S. Attorney's fast track programs. Because Your Honor, you had earlier asked, Judge Evans, you had asked about what the defendant would have his sentence would have been if it were subject to fast track. I believe that the attorney in his sentencing memorandum said that it would be appropriate for the court to correct for the disparity by reducing his offense level by 2 levels, and that adjustment would have resulted in a guideline imprisonment range of 37 to 46 months, and his sentence was, of course, 48 months. And it strikes me that under Reyes-Hernandez, a court, if it accepts that the fast-track disparity is one factor that it should consider, the court doesn't have to impose that mechanistically and adopt exactly that lower guideline range. Instead, it's one of the 3553A factors. And as we've discussed, by definition,
isn't it an A6 factor, not A1, about disparities?
It may be. I said 3553A, because I think that in Reyes-Hernandez, the court says it should be considered along with the other 3553A factors and doesn't refer to the subsections within that. And on that, you know, so the court doesn't have to impose it mechanistically. Again, the presumption in Reyes-Hernandez is that these cases have not proceeded exactly as they would in a fast-track district. It's certainly within the within a district judge's discretion to say, I think the fast-track disparity does merit some reduction in sentence, but not the complete or the extent of the reduction that the defendant presumably would have gotten in a fast-track district, where in the course of basically rolling into that program, certain conditions would, as a matter of course, have been imposed on the defendant that weren't in this case. Thinking back, Judge, to your question of in, I may have been in Ocampo earlier, of whether, you know, the significance of a, of let's say a 10-month reduction, you were wondering, I believe, if you know, just how substantial that is. I think all we have to do is you know, think about how the government responds to the prospect of reductions like that. You know, I've never seen the government say, oh, you know, the defense is only asking for a 6 or 7 month reduction. Yeah. It's not a big deal. The government is adamant that all of that period of time is significant. And in a case like this, we would agree, even if Mr. Mondejano might prospectively be looking at only a 6 month reduction in sentence, we agree with the government. That would be significant.
Thank you,
Judge. Sorry.
And Ms. Greenwald.
Your Honor, Helene Greenwald on behalf of the United States. I want to start out, in this case, just having sat through all the arguments, I think there's an interesting progression, because you started in the first case where the judge made no comment on the fast-track argument, and the government's essentially agreed to a remand. In the second case, the judge said, if this was the law, and then proceeded. In this case, the district court, recognizing, without saying it, but I believe implicitly recognizing that this case had, that Reyes-Hernandez had been both briefed and argued, and Kimbrough had been decided, and that issue was pending over how it would be interpreted and its impact on fast track, addressed this, that it was before her as the defendant in this case asked it to be, and decided it. And the district court ruled that that I am considering your fast track argument, I am considering it, and I am denying it for two reasons. One, you're not eligible, Mr. Defendant, and two, even if you were, on the merits, I'm doing the analysis, and I would not award it here. The guideline range is appropriate. So in that instance, this case, the government submits, presents a clear situation where not only was it not dicta, the court expressly took it on its all fours and decided this issue that's before you. In terms of the eligibility factor,
the determination that it shouldn't apply here get balled up in her incorrect assumption that he wouldn't have been eligible?
I'm sorry, could you repeat?
Did her determination that it shouldn't apply here get balled up in her earlier incorrect determination that he would not have been eligible for fast track?
Well, the district court was very specific on its determination of eligibility, and in fact,
based on the violent conviction.
But not only that, the district court gave three reasons that he would not be eligible. One was the violent, but secondly, he did not plead promptly or within a reasonable period of time. In fact, this defendant pled 8 months after he was indicted. So the indictment was brought in August. He was going to come in for a plea in December and said, I'm consulting with another attorney, I want more time. So that plea did not go through. In fact, they had set it for a status in January. At that status, he got a new lawyer. and he did not plead guilty until April. The second reason was there was nothing in this plea agreement to include a waiver of appellate rights or a 2255 petition. And what's also in this case, and I think particularly important here, because the government does acknowledge the defendant's point, which is that we're not a fast-track district. We're not going to agree out and out to give you a fast-track position. So the fact is, though, even though that they were not a fast-track district, a defendant can, and the government would submit it's their burden to come forward and conditionally through affidavit, through proffer, say, we would plead guilty now in a plea agreement that waived all our appellate rights and that it waived our right to a 2255. There's no such record here. In fact, the record in this case is that the defense counsel stood before the court at sentencing, and I think 2 to 3 pages of this sentencing transcript is devoted to the judge pushing defense counsel on the eligibility question. And in this case, well, I wouldn't go so far as to say absolutely conceded, certainly took the position that they did not know, defendant did not know that he would be eligible. There are times when he said he probably wouldn't be eligible because he hadn't done the things necessary, and at other times said, I don't know. But nothing more than that, never presented to the court that this defendant, in fact, was eligible, nor given an 8-month, whatever reasonable period of time means the government would submit 8 months is not within that period. So the district court did address eligibility specifically, and again, I would just make it clear that while the district court absolutely did mention the violence, also mentioned these other two factors. But then the district court went further and said that even if he were eligible on the merits of this case, alluding to the other positions that the district court had stated, which included both that he had a prior conviction for a crime of violence and had entered the country twice illegally, this was not an appropriate case to deviate from the guideline range of 46 to 57 months. And she did give him a sentence of 48 months. So she also, and then went on into her Section 3553 factors and further articulated why this is an appropriate sentence. The other point I wanted to make in response to defense counsel's comments or appellate counsel's comments is that Reyes-Hernandez does put a burden on the defendant, as does subsequent decisions of this court, and I'd notice we've cited in our brief the Garcia case, Ramirez-Silva, that the defendant does have a burden to show eligibility, to make some kind of showing of eligibility. And in Garcia and Ramirez-Silva in particular, the court indicates that a district court need not even discuss this fast-track issue if such a burden has not been met. So for all these reasons, the record in this case soundly supports affirmance and that the district court did what was required, even though Reyes-Hernandez had not yet been decided.
All right. Ms. Greenwald, thank you.
No other questions, will rest on our brief.
Raquel, this is your last shot at fast track today.
Thank you, Judge. Just briefly, a number of the government's arguments we've already dealt with today. I will note that the government contends that the district judge was mindful of Reyes-Hernandez as a incipient decision. I don't recall from the record that anybody ever talked about Reyes-Hernandez having been briefed or being pending. Perhaps the district judge was aware of it. I'm not aware of any indication in the record. The government also proposes preconditions that a defendant in a who wishes in a non-fast track district who wishes to make the fast track argument proposes preconditions for eligibility, and those preconditions are neither prescribed nor implicit in Reyes-Hernandez, and they're not presented in this court's reported decisions. And seemed like there was something else I wanted to say. But,
that light probably scared it out of your mind.
Probably. But we've certainly gone over this ground a lot today, so thank you very much, Judge.
you, both counsel, and we'll take that along with the other fast-track cases under advisement.